Thank you for tuning in to Sermoncast, the audio channel for the preaching ministry of Christ Church. You can learn more about Christ Church by visiting ccnh.org.
Let me begin by thanking you for braving the storm and for getting out this morning. Try to decide what to do on a Sunday morning like this. Do you cancel the service or just go with it? And realizing that a lot of folks won't be able to get out, I appreciate you making the effort to be here. If you're visiting here this morning, perhaps you've stumbled in on a series of studies together. We're talking about Bible study methods, the different ways that we can get into the Scriptures, the different ways that we can get the most out of the Scriptures when we do read and study. And so you found your way into this series. I want to try and share with you kind of the method behind this madness. We talk about things on Sunday mornings a lot, and we list a bunch of points. You know, here are three things we can try to do, and then we leave. We go back into the rest of the week without having applied them. And what we wanted to accomplish with this Bible study methods series is actually to tackle the methods here while we're together, to participate and to actually do it more than just talk about it. Let's try it. Let's practice it. And then we'll take it into the rest of our week and experience it and see if it's a fit. And with all these different Bible study methods we're doing, it's not one size fits all. Some of these methods will work fine for you. Some of them will not. I teased that in a few weeks we're going to get into verse and chapter analysis, and that's very in-depth. And so engineers will love it. Artists will hate it. You know, it's not a one-size-fits-all. It'll be experience a little of each one and see what feels good as we get into the text. This morning we're going to talk about a Bible study method that is called the devotional method of Bible study. And it comes from a book by a pastor named Rick Warren in California. You might know of Rick Warren's other works. He did The Purpose-Driven Life, 40 Days of Purpose, that kind of stuff. And he had this book years ago about methods for studying the Bible. And this is said to be one of his favorites, the devotional Bible study method. And the devotional Bible study method follows four points, four particular actions that we'll take. If you picked up a bulletin on the way in, you'll have one of these forms in the middle of it. And on the back of the form, it has actually an outline for the study, all four of the parts that are there, and we'll walk through those. If you didn't get a bulletin, I have some here. And you're going to need some writing instruments. And so we've spared no expense this morning in breaking out the very fine and expensive writing instruments here. So if you don't have one, you can come get one of those, and we can kind of work this through. You're going to help out, Rick? Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. You just need one, okay. That four-step plan that's in there, step number one is important. Obviously, it's prayer. And it's praying specifically that the Holy Spirit would teach us something of this text, to give us an application of this text as we read it and study it together. The second step is meditation. And Dr. Rick Warren, in his book, uses the example of a cow chewing its cud. Now, I don't know if you've heard of this before, if you're into the agricultural way of life to understand this, but apparently, they tell me, people much smarter than I am, tell me that a cow chews its food and swallows it into its first stomach and then lays down and just chills out for a while and then regurgitates that food back to chew it a second time. By the way, I want to see how many times I can say regurgitate in a sermon. Regurgitates this back up, chews on it a second time, and then swallows it again. And they say that it's in that second chewing, the prolonged time in the stomach and the second chewing, that the real nutrients are gained for this animal. And so Rick Warren says this meditation part of these four points, this ought to be like that, where we chew on it for a while. We kind of let it settle in for a bit. Then we bring it back and we chew it over again. And we think through this stuff in that pattern so that God's Spirit can use that word more effectually in helping us craft an application. The third point is the application. The third point is where we pray that the Lord would specifically give us something from this text that can then be applied to our walk. And then from there, the fourth point in the outline is to memorize a portion of the passage. And Rick Warren in his book says, you know, it could be the whole passage, it could be a verse, or it could even just be a phrase, just a key phrase, something that will be food for thought for us going forward in our application. So that's the outline we want to follow. We want to pray. We want to meditate on the passage. We want to see that the Holy Spirit, or if the Holy Spirit will give us a particular application, and then we want to memorize a small portion of that as we head out the door. And we're going to do it together this morning in that order. A couple more things that I just want to share with you. You've already read the passage once this morning, as Jesse put it up there from the message. We're going to read it out of a couple more versions as a part of chewing it and letting it kind of simmer with us for a while. And then we're going to have some song mixed in. In the middle of our reading the passage, I'm going to ask the musicians to play some more music for us, music that is risen out of the passages, that connects to the passages, so that we can meditate that way, kind of meditate on the music and the song part of it as we sing those words, as we think through those words. So, step one in the outline, you can check off the little box on the back of that page if you want, is prayer. What we need to do is pray specifically about this text that the Lord would speak to our hearts. So I'm going to just spend some time in prayer, and I ask you, if you would lead us in prayer for this, just speak loudly enough that we can all hear. We're praying specifically that the Lord would speak to our hearts from the text and give us application. I'll close our time. Let's bow before the Lord. Well, Father, we thank you for the reminder that we began with this morning. As Ralph was on that video, and he shared that your word can be referred to or can be seen as a manufacturer's handbook. You made us. And Father, you know the bigger picture into which you've called us, you've placed us. You know the parts that we play. You know the people that we will interact with and the encouragement and the help that we can be. You know the things in and through which you will build us and grow us more in the likeness of Jesus. Father, we thank you for this text. Would you, by your Spirit, speak to our hearts now? Would you show us things that are just general principles? Things that are very specific for each of our individual walks with you? And Father, things that we can act on. Lord, would you have your way with us in this text? So we've been singing about your love and our love for one another. Father, would you help us to face those words, those truths, and our lives be touched and changed? Father, may the words of my mouth this morning and the consideration of our hearts please you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So the second step is this meditation step I spoke of. And in his book, Rick Warren gives some ideas to help us frame a meditation time. The first thing that he says we might try is to personalize the text. And you've seen that before. You think of like John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son. And you might change that to, for God so loved Darren, that he gave his only son. So one of the things you might do with the text to meditate on it is to kind of personalize it. Put yourself in the text as if it's spoken directly to or directly of you. Another suggestion that he gives is to emphasize words. To read a particular sentence, and each time you read it, emphasize a different word. For instance, take a look at verse 8. Whoever does not love God does not know God, because God is love. In this method, you might say, whoever does not love God does not know God. Or you might emphasize the word love. Whoever does not love, you know, that kind of an emphasis as you think through it, word for word. Another method for this meditation he gives is to paraphrase it. And we've already read the text in one paraphrase. We'll read it in another in just a moment. But you might put it in your own words as you read through a text. say it the way you would write it if you were writing it in a letter to a friend. And other ideas he gives us are to think about it in song, which we're going to do, and to think about it in prayer, to pray it back to God, which we're going to give you time to do. So this is that meditation phase where we're asking God to bring us an application. And of application, just a few thoughts. First and foremost, it ought to be something that's personal. It ought to be something that's practical. It ought to be something that's possible. And it ought to be something that's provable. So personal would be, I need to lose some weight. Personal, I. Practical, I need to lose some weight. That's practical. Possible is, I need to lose 10 pounds. That's not too tough. That's possible. Provable would be, I need to lose 10 pounds by summer. So that you've got a mark in the sand to say, did I actually do it? So as we think about what application the Lord might give, thinking in those terms of personal, practical, possible, and provable is a help. And then as I mentioned in my prayer just a moment ago, to think of a text and wait for the Lord to show us insights and application, we could think on kind of a global principle, or we could think on kind of more of a general truth, or we could think along the lines of very personal. What does this mean to me? How does this apply in my very particular situation? So those are the things we're waiting on the Lord to show us. So this meditation phase, we're wanting the Lord to speak to us through the text. I'm going to read the text to you in a few different versions. I'm going to invite you to read along, to think along. I'm going to invite you to use some of those tools I talked about, personalizing the text as you think through it, emphasizing words, paraphrasing it. Then we're going to put it to music. We're going to sing a bit. We're going to think about the words that we sing. We'll have some more time for prayer. And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about what applications the Lord might have laid on our hearts. How about that? This is 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love God does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. A little different version. This is from a New King James Version. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. And lastly, I want to share with you from the J.B. Phillips translation. J.B. Phillips was an English preacher and scholar and professor in the 20th century, a friend of C.S. Lewis, whose name you might recognize a little more easily. He, during World War II, was in shelters, in bomb shelters, and was with young people trying to teach the scriptures and realized that they were having a difficult time with the authorized version, as they call it, the King James Version. So during those times in bomb shelters, he composed what is the J.B. Phillips translation of the New Testament. Interesting background. Listen to this. So easy that a kid could understand it, he would say. To you whom I love, I say, let us go on loving one another, for love comes from God. Every man who truly loves is God's son and has some knowledge of him. But the man who does not love cannot know him at all, for God is love. To us, the greatest demonstration of God's love for us has been his sending his son into the world to give us life through him. We see real love not in the fact that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to make a personal atonement for our sins. If God loved us as much as that, surely we, in our turn, should love one another. It is true that no human being has ever had a direct vision of God. Yet if we love one another, God does actually live within us, and his love grows in us toward perfection. Time for some meditation. Spend some time spinning through that text. In a few moments, the music team will lead us in a few songs from this text, and then we'll talk again. So, this isn't one of those Sundays where I'm bringing you a sermon. This is one of those Sundays when you're bringing us a sermon. So, are any of you willing to share any of the thoughts that you had during a little season of meditation? Are any of you willing to share any applications, be they general or specific, as you sought the Lord's clarity in bringing some application out of this text about God's love and our loving one another? Dan?
One of the things that I thought of is the need to love the kids that I work with unconditionally. Mm-hmm. And kind of view that as being God's sort of hand and feet. Mm. But this is very clear that we're to share that love.
Yeah.
It's not something that, well, it is something that God gives us, but he expects us to give it to others as well.
Yeah.
And sometimes even when these kids are unlovable, we're
tough to love. That. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. This is just shout out loud. Go ahead, Paula.
I wasn't doing enough for her. And the friendship ended, and I feel relieved because she had so many expectations of me that I could never reach and never meet. And I felt bad because I witnessed her, I shared the Lord with her, and I'm thinking, okay, have I failed because I'm not putting a roof on her house, I'm not giving her money, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, I'm not jumping every time she said jump. I just, so I really struggled. We talked about this morning, listening to Andy's family, that what I think Christian, how they should show love is doing anything, everything, 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 everything. And you just, my boss has noticed that in me. Because I say, just give me lemons, I'll make lemon. And they give me more, I'll make lemon meringue pie. And lemons, lemons, lemons. And so she said, Paula, whenever I see you doing too much, I'm going to go, lemons, 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 because she knows I overdo it. So I have a really hard time. What really does that mean? Because Jesus didn't do that. Jesus said, no, you know. And where does it come to the point where your child, your spouse, your whoever has to take care of themselves too? And, you know, I can't be God for people, and sometimes I mess up because I'm trying to be God for people.
Yeah.
And so this is a real struggle.
For yeah. Really Holy Spirit speaking right into your situation. Yeah.
Wow. So I have to find that fine line.
And we're all going to Paula's house for dessert. Did you hear that? lemon meringue pie.
Lemon meringue pie.
Others? Rick?
You know, as I read it, I think we've probably all been to a wedding. We heard, you know, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful, proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. We hear all about these things, the point is, and it's part of a wedding service. And here, I kind of felt like we're being told that it's a commandment, mm-hmm. that to love one another is what you're supposed to do, period. Yeah. And if you don't do it, then there's an opposite. There's also a, not a reaction, but a result. And it says, kind of like, you know, if you're not loving anybody, maybe you're not really loving Christ. And mm-hmm. so, kind of put a little bit of a commandment to, you know, put your walk to your talk a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. Others? Yeah, Cliff.
Love is from God, so it depended on me to do the loving.
Yeah.
I fall short now, but if
yeah.
on him,
yeah.
then it's like, well, we have a place to get that from. So
right.
we have it to give, otherwise we wouldn't have it. So
yeah.
that's refreshing to know that love is from God.
Yeah. We think alike, because I wrote down the source is God. Kind of what Dan said, you know, that he's the source of love. And we reflect that love in our identity. Yeah, good stuff.
You know, God blesses us in so many ways. Yeah. And I often wonder, how can we ever thank him? You know, he loved us so much he sent his son, as yeah. it says here. And yet he gives us the answer here also, where he says, you have to love.
Mm.
And so our thank you to him is how we live, how we love.
Yeah, good stuff, good stuff, yeah.
Jesus said to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength.
Yeah.
And to love your fellow man as you love yourself.
Yeah.
But we love ourselves already.
Yeah.
We get up in the morning and we comb our head.
That's right.
We feed ourselves. We already love ourselves. The difficult part is to love somebody else as much as we love ourselves.
Yeah.
And Christ also said that all the commandments hang on those two.
Yes. Yep.
And then if we do those two things, then everything else is taken care of.
Yeah, exactly.
It's an amazing thing.
Says the greatest command. Yep.
Love is mentioned so many times.
Yeah.
God loved us so much
yeah.
that he sent his son to die for our sins.
Yeah.
Because we're guilty.
Yeah. Think about a few of these comments, too, as we're waiting for the Holy Spirit to kind of give us some applications. We're meditating. You know, you took us to the text of the great commandment. You took us to the text in 1 Corinthians on love. You know, it's like the Holy Spirit kind of says, hey, there's other places, too, where I've talked about love. You can, you know, start to tie these pieces together. Great stuff. And, you know, just so you know, in my little personal applications, I made some notes that I don't want to share with you. But one of them has to do with selfishness. You know, I see, as you were talking about the selfishness of taking care of ourselves the way we do, you know, there's a great selfishness that rivals my loving others more fully. So it's one of my applications. Great stuff. Jim?
Well, I'll share.
Well, I have my back to you. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, it's to lose the attitude of, well, I got mine and I don't care.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which,
exactly.
That's in your notes, too.
Well, the picture of Jesus laying down his life, you know, is, yeah, awesome stuff. Any others? Yeah, Jim.
In light of what Paul was saying, some of what Paul was saying, listening to Andy Stanley, he referenced the Ephesians, some of the stuff we did just in Ephesians. And one of the verses, verse 22 in Ephesians 5, wives submit. The word submit struck me, and I looked it up in Merriam-Webster's, and one of the interpretations of the word could be surrender.
Mm.
And we're looking at verse 7, you could put that word surrender in there
yeah.
as we surrender to God,
yeah.
surrender to one another, and really draw out some real good applications.
Yeah, great, great stuff. I mean, Lord's given us some good stuff. This is awesome. Daniel, and I saw Kim, I saw you too. Yeah.
One thing I noticed is that the word if is not present. Let us love one another if
uh-huh.
you go to church, they share similar yeah. beliefs and that kind of stuff. So that's a challenge to me.
Yeah.
So to love regardless of the situation, their beliefs, their whatever.
Keen observation. Yes, sir. Kim, oh, you. Somebody else? Did I miss somebody?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought of like, it's like Jesus is like, you know, there's a seed growing in
Nurture that, absolutely. Very true. Great practical application. You're right. Very good stuff. Good stuff. Walter?
I think we need to take care that unconditional love does not mean the same as unconditional approval.
Yeah. And that's sort of what Paul was saying, too, just kind of overworked. You're right. Sometimes love is, as they say, tough love. You know? Very good thought. Well, in the area of kind of personal application, not necessarily asking you to share something that the Lord is planting in your heart that might be personal, but were you able to hear from the Lord some things that are more particular to your situation, things that you need to be challenged with and you might be being stirred by the Lord with? Anything along those lines? And again, I don't need you to share specifics, but has He spoken to you in more particular ways as well? As I told you, I'm not sharing some of mine, so go ahead, Cliff.
Verse 8 says, the one who does not know. Don't we all like to think we're all know God, and we love God, and we know Him, and we discuss Him in the streets? So, I don't know. But then he just cuts it right to the quick right there. He says, the one who does not love God does not know God. So it's like, you can become a Pharisee in like 5 minutes because you know God.
Yeah.
So it's like, those times when I don't give, not necessarily in an over way, in the sense that I've had the opportunity to love and I haven't.
Yeah.
Or I've pulled it back, or I haven't,
It's
like, that's kind of a scary part. The scriptures you don't like to underline sometimes.
Yeah.
It's going to hold me accountable.
Very true, very true.
Being practical would be those times when I have the opportunity to do I exercise that.
Yeah. Amen. Well, I mentioned one of mine has to do with selfishness that combats my being loving in many instances. Another one for me is risk. To love someone is risky. It means sharing life in a more intimate way, in a deeper way. And sometimes that's time consuming. Sometimes it's emotional energy consuming. Sometimes it argues for choices, priorities to change. And so I wrote down some things particular to risk in loving others as well. The sheet that's before you ends with memorization. And there might be a passage, or I should say a verse or a phrase in this passage that spoke to your heart more than others. So I don't want to dictate that to you. I want you to know that verse 8 is the verse that spoke to me. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And so between now and next week, I'm going to spend some time reciting that verse over and over in my head, so I'll have it down. And I'll be thinking about these lessons, these meditations and applications as I do. I encourage you to do the same. And since there are so few of us here this week, I'll offer a prize for those of you who have some memory work done next Sunday. And we'll make those who decided to stay home this morning realize that they really missed out. Here come the goods, right? But do try to commit some of that to memory, whether it's a verse or a phrase, or if you're really challenged by it, take the whole passage. It's not that long. But see if we can commit some of this to memory.
Can we win the prize if we memorize a paraphrase?
Yes. Yes, that will work. Any version or paraphrase that you like. For you, Jim, it's the amplified version, though. That's what I'd like you to do. It's good stuff, good stuff. Well, again, the idea here was to practice this so that you get a feel for the method. It's not a sermon per se, it's just a chance to go through this method. Try this out at home. Grab some other passages. Spend a little time in prayer asking God to illuminate the truth for you in that passage. Spend some time meditating on it. Read it in a few different versions. If you think of a song that connects, sing it. You know, whatever it is, to spend that time, as they say, chewing the cud. And then look for the Lord to give you an application. Jot it down in a journal or something. Something that you've written out that you can look back to. And try and memorize a piece here or there to help jog your memory going forward. To keep it fresh in your mind. Try this method out. I want to know. You know, last week we did my method that I shared with you. The observation, interpretation, and application. This week, this method. Next week, we're going to move on to some other methods. Try these things out so we can see what feels good, what works for you, what fits in your schedule in a way that will edify your soul and grow you in likeness of your Savior. Chief application for this text from me overarching all of this was one of identity. What I saw here was, when I love others, I resemble my Father. When I love others, I show others my Father. And that's what I'm going to take out of this as well. I'm going to invite the music team to share another song with us as we close. But before we do, would you pray with me? Father, it's our desire to know you as the author of this word. It's our desire to understand you as the source of love and to reflect your love to the world around us. Particularly, Father, in the scenes that you've placed us. You've placed us in families, in neighborhoods, in schools, in employment. You've placed us next to people who need to know you. Father, might our lives reflect you. Father, would you give us courage? Courage to love with a reckless abandon as you've loved. Courage to surrender. Courage, Father, to be your children. We read in the scriptures that the world will know us by our love for one another. Would you help us to love one another as we share this journey? Would you give us courage to face the risks in really laying our lives down in this journey with one another? That you, Father, would be glorified. That Jesus would be manifest. That seed we've seen in the Phillips translation. That seed of love would be growing, benefiting and blessing others. Father, we commit this to you. In Jesus' name, amen.